Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Pam Murray. In these podcasts, I'm going to be talking about simple, practical tools to help you create the life you want to live. I combine practicality, spirituality, and physics in ways that actually work to create what I call living impossibly. In this podcast, we're going to learn how you can vacuum your way to prosperity. A while back, after I decorated my Christmas tree, I vacuumed up all the needles and shrapnel left over from all the decorations. As I watched all this stuff get sucked up into the bag, I wondered, well, why do they call it a vacuum? I often ponder these deep philosophical questions when I'm vacuuming. So my next question was, well, what is a vacuum, really? So I went to that trusty compendium of all things, Wikipedia. I found out a lot of things. First of all, the word vacuum comes from the Latin. It means vacant or void. This has some interesting implications I'll get into later. A vacuum is a state in which the gaseous pressure is less than the atmospheric pressure. In older times, a perfect vacuum was a region in which there were absolutely no particles, no protons, no quarks, no nothing. Modern physics has shown that even in a near-perfect vacuum, there is some activity. Today, physicists call this the zero-point field. We're not going to get very deep into all of this because this is more a discussion of the vacuum principles of prosperity as opposed to the physics of it. So if there are some physicists out there, just know that we realize we may take some liberties with pure physics, but the principles all fit together. Now, back to my vacuum cleaner. As the gaseous pressure of the motor reduces the air pressure, it builds up what's called suction. And that's what happened to all those little needles from the tree. And that's also why they call it a vacuum. It's not a perfect vacuum. In fact, a typical vacuum cleaner reduces the air pressure by only about 20%. Another example of suction created by this vacuum principle is an old-fashioned hand pump that our ancestors used to get their water from a well. To get it started, they really had to work to build up enough pressure to create that suction. And to bring it closer to home, take a deep breath using your diaphragm. When you take a breath, the diaphragm muscle expands the chest cavity, creating an artificial vacuum, causing the volume of the lungs to increase. As the lungs expand, they reduce the air pressure and create a partial vacuum, which is then filled with the air that is pushed in by the atmospheric pressure. I can hear most of you testing this out. There's a lot of deep breathing going on out there. By now, you're probably asking, well, all this breathing stuff is fun and all, but what does it have to do with prosperity? Come on, Pam, get on with it. Okay. I first learned about the vacuum law of prosperity when I read about it in the 1970s. A woman named Catherine Ponder, who has written many, many books about prosperity and right thinking, was one of the major influences in my early adult life. By the way, she is now 93 and still going strong. The book I'm talking about is called The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity. It was written in 1962, but it's still available today. My copy is pretty worn out from the countless times I've read it because these principles are timeless and universal. One of my favorite chapters is called The Vacuum Law of Prosperity. At one point, I think I had this chapter practically memorized. If you know my story, you know that things were pretty bleak for me for a number of years until I started getting these principles into my subconscious. By the way, I'm still learning. I read, study, listen, and meditate on these principles every day, and it never gets boring. Anyway, here's how the chapter starts. Basically, the vacuum law of prosperity is this. If you want greater good, greater prosperity in your life, start forming a vacuum to receive it. In other words, get rid of what you don't want to make room for what you do want. If there are clothes in the closet or furniture in your home or office that no longer seems right for you, if there are people among your acquaintances and friends that no longer seem congenial, Begin moving the tangibles and intangibles out of your life in the faith that you can have what you really want and desire. There's an old saying that goes, you can't steal second base if you refuse to take your foot off first. I remember how frightened I was when I left my corporate job to go out on my own. I was making good money and was well respected at my company. But it was time to move on. But I didn't get the hint. The universe made my life so uncomfortable that I was almost forced to leave. Now, the job had been good for me. I received so much training and opportunities that I couldn't have been in a position to open my own business without all that. So it had been perfect at the time, but now it was time to move on. I needed to take my foot off first base. It was time to create a vacuum. Well, within a year of releasing that, I had my own television interview show. A man named Robert Detzler was one of my first guests. He became my mentor and teacher. So I've been using many of his principles for, more than 20 years. In addition to these principles of prosperity that I've been using and teaching for about 45 years. Here's the thing, though. Meeting him probably wouldn't have happened had I not created the vacuum of, no job. My best friend showed me a wonderful example of a vacuum principle. She and her husband had retired, and they wanted to move back to the Northwest from Texas. In fact, they purchased a house in Olympia, Washington. They put their house in Texas on the market, but nothing was happening. You can imagine that they were getting nervous about carrying two mortgages. We talked about the vacuum law of prosperity, and they decided to take action. They rented a big truck and loaded most of their possessions into it and moved it all into their new house. By doing so, they created a vacuum in their old house, which drew onto it a buyer almost immediately. They've lived happily in Olympia for many years now. For most of my life, I've seemed to have an ongoing love-hate relationship with a lot of stuff. A few years ago, I began clearing it out. I wanted more open space in my life and in my house. It seemed, though, that no matter how much I let go of, the space just seemed to fill back up. At this point, Spirit revealed to me the second part of this law. State what you want to fill the void created by the vacuum. I had actually stumbled on this, but I'd forgotten it. So now I'm consciously sorting out my stuff and consciously, with intention, stating what I want to replace in the space I had just created. In many cases, I asked the space be simply filled with space. I didn't want anything else there. You can also declare that you want the space filled with things that are unrelated to that which left. In other words, say you have some clothing that you donate to charity, but you don't really want more clothing at the time. You can declare that what you really want by releasing this and creating that vacuum is, say, drawing in a wonderful trip. So it doesn't actually have to be the same for the same. Now, the two parts of the vacuum law of prosperity, and they are both very important, release what no longer serves you, and then state what you want to fill the void. Do you know that another name for the void is the womb of creation? So when you establish a void, you are also establishing a point of creation. When can we use the vacuum law of prosperity? Every moment of the day. I used to think it was most effective in physical things, but it is equally powerful, or even more so, in states of mind. Here is a list of things that many of us hang on to. Things like worry, fear, unforgiveness and grudges, hurt feelings, anger, and the good stuff you're saving for when company comes. I'm always interested in what people hang on to rather than creating a vacuum. I'm not talking about you, of course, but think about what all those other people hang on to. There's another part to creating a vacuum that is very important. You must let it go completely. You must send it out to the universe with, as Ms. Ponder says, a rich flourish and a rich blessing. When I create a vacuum by giving money, for instance, I declare that I receive 100 and 1,000-fold return. If I become reluctant about it, thus getting into lack, I affirm this until I have the feeling and absolute certainty of the return into my life. It never ceases to amaze me how richly I am rewarded in many, many ways when I send it forth with a rich flourish and a rich blessing of the 1,000-fold return. But again, it doesn't have to be money you let go. It can be anything, and you can still declare the blessing. Forgiveness is a powerful tool for creating a vacuum. Some years ago, I was visiting a friend in Seattle. He was having a deep pain in his hip. A very active person, he was frustrated by the fact that he was so inhibited by the pain. We were sitting on his sofa, and he had his feet in my lap as I was doing some very gentle body work on him. Suddenly, I got the hint that he needed to forgive someone. I asked him about it, and he said he didn't know of anyone he needed to forgive. I sat there silently for a while, just continuing the gentle body work. Suddenly, it was like a dam burst. For the next half hour, he poured out his heart. Wow! When he was done, he jumped up to get us some tea. His eyes got very large. "I have no more pain," he exclaimed. "From now on, forgiveness is my path." So forgiveness is a very powerful vacuum and can affect every facet of your life, relationships, money, health, and anything else you can name. I've known of many, many relationships, health issues, and financial problems that have cleared up when people sat for a few minutes each day and practiced forgiveness. In my own life, when I feel blocked, I ask God to show me if there's anyone in my life, past or present, or any incident that I need to forgive. In other words, I don't make the other person right, but I need to forgive. In other words, to release it from my life. I am often amazed at the things I'm shown, things I had long forgotten, but which still resided in the cells of my body. Remember, our cells can hold on to everything that has ever happened to us. It's up to us to create a vacuum by releasing the negativity caused by unforgiveness in order to draw to us the health, love, money, and right actions that we want. Speaking of relationships, many people desire a love relationship, a life mate, as it were. I know one woman who was determined to find the man of her dreams, so she cleared out everything in her house that was not conducive to attracting this man. She didn't have a particular man in mind, but she had qualities in mind, and that's important. You know, she even created a space for him on one side of her bed and slept on only one side. Well, it didn't take long before this vacuum drew in a perfect man for her, and she's been happily married for many years. I'm not saying this will work for you, but it sure worked for her. I remember listening to a program by the late Wayne Dyer. He was talking about how he literally walked away from everything he's had. He told his secretary to give everything away and lock the door, and he moved to Maui. The amazing thing was that the vacuum he created led to him drawing in many more times what he walked away from. He said he just couldn't seem to stop it from coming, so he didn't try. Well, I wouldn't either. So here's the final thing. If you really, really want to use this law in your life, the first thing you must relieve is any form of thought and speech about any form of lack. This means that you must live in a constant atmosphere of moving in the thought of what you want. And as Neville used to say, in the feeling of the wish fulfilled. If you want to move to the next base, indeed, if you want to make a home run, here's what you must take your foot off. Complaining about anything. This is different from noticing something that needs to be changed and that you can do something about. Complaining means you are dwelling in the world of strengthening what you don't want. Talking about what you don't want, this is another form of dwelling in the strengthening of what you don't want in life. Noticing what you don't want as a step in the process of what you do want is fine, but notice it only once before moving into solution. This is how you create the vacuum to draw into your life what you do want. Also, release any jealousy about what someone else has, does, or is. I mean, that's pretty tempting to see somebody with new clothes that you don't have, or this dream job or dream person that you don't have. But remember, you have your own gifts. You have your own power, and these are there for you to use to create the life of your dreams on your terms and for you in a unique manner. I could go on, but I know you get the idea. So what about you? Take a second to think about what you would like to draw into your life. I've always been interested by how God works. Today, as I was working on this teleseminar, I got 3 phone calls, all of which ended in me saying, just ask for what you want. I think I was being nudged to include not only the clearing out part, but to remember the part about declaring what you want. It's a lot of releasing statements to help me remember that I don't have to hang on to that which no longer serves me. These are a perfect start to the vacuum law because they not only state what we are releasing from our lives and our subconscious, but at the end, then we reprogram the subconscious by telling it what we want to replace the old stuff with. Sometimes it's difficult to create this vacuum. There are times when we must release one, say, toxic relationship in order to draw in one that is more suited to us. Now listen, you don't go to your mate and say, hey, Pam says I have to dump you, you chump. No, that's not what I meant, and you know it. It was heartbreaking for me to give up that corporate job. I've had to let toxic friendships and other relationships go, and it was difficult. I once spent a week arguing with God about a donation I didn't want to make. Fine, I said finally, if I do this, I want a demonstration that proves to me this vacuum thing works. I talk to God like that a lot. Well, a week later, I want a trip to Hawaii. Guess it worked. I had to move out of a house I loved in the Seattle area in order to build the dream house I now live in. I know each of you has similar stories. But I heard a great quote once. It said, when you walk away from what is in your hand, God will give you what is in His hand. In other words, you can't outgive the universe. Now, I'm not suggesting you pull a Wayne Dyer and give away everything. I'm not suggesting you just walk away from your life. But I am suggesting that you look at what no longer serves you, and take a risk at replacing that, forming a vacuum, with what brings you greater joy and fulfillment. We're going to do a meditation now, so let's prepare for it. If you're driving and listening to this, I suggest that you put the meditation off until you are at home or in a place where you can relax and close your eyes. So take a deep breath. Use your diaphragm to expand your lungs and create that vacuum for life-giving air. As you exhale, do so with the intention of releasing something that no longer serves you. with the in-breath, imagine that you are drawing in something you want that replaces it. One more time, exhale and release something that no longer serves you. Breathe in the new and the better. Have in mind something you would like. It may be something material. It may be better health. It may be a difference in a current relationship or a new relationship altogether. Perhaps you would like an increase in your financial well-being. Or you may be thinking, like I do sometimes, oh, I need it all. Of course, that's fine, but for now, just pick one. You can always come back and do this meditation as many times as you want. Get as real a picture of your desire as you can. Get the feeling of this desire as it is already in your life. Now, think of your life as a room filled to the brim. There's no room for anything else. Imagine you're standing in the doorway of this room we're calling your life. In your hands, you're holding a box containing the desire you just chose, but you can't bring it into the room unless you release something that is already there. As you consider this desire, ask for insight about what you must release in order to draw it in. Now, you may or may not receive specific insight at this moment. If not, just ask that it be given to you in the coming days. Even if you didn't release this if you didn't receive this insight, ask yourself what you're willing to release in order to bring about this desire. Are you experiencing a specific emotion or perhaps a sensation in some area of your body? Do you feel reluctance or enthusiasm about releasing something to create the vacuum? It's normal to be unwilling to release something from your life, even if it no longer serves you. It's not easy to move from something familiar to something else. It's not easy to release a habit to gain health, money, or a relationship. But if you're ready to create the vacuum that will draw into your life what you desire, silently repeat the following. I now release that which no longer serves me. I now replace it with my heart's desires. I ask Spirit to close doors that need to be closed. Spirit now opens the doors that no one could open. Spirit now draws into my life all the good I can imagine. I now receive and give thanks for miracles filling the void created by the vacuum. Doesn't that feel good? And now, take another deep breath and gently move your body. When you're ready, come back to an awareness of this time and place. Make a few notes about anything you gained insight into in the meditation, and come back to it often. If you'd like to contact me or learn more about me, just go to my website, pammurray.com. That's PammuRray, two M's, two R's. And until next time, remember to live impossibly.